This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But you never give in. That's a winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? The dog days of summer are upon us. Transfer muppetry, not enough of it, not enough movement in that market. Glazers, they know they got to appease these United fans. Not moving fast enough. Shame on them. Not surprised. How we doing?
Sir, you know, it's summer's great. Love summer. From a footballing perspective, it's rough. You know, especially as a United fan, that new kit dropped, rough. Oof. The transfer rumors, rough. You know, next season, a lot of questions to be had, a lot of business to do. Euros in full swing. If you followed the game for a long time like I have, Euros kill the transfer market in the summer. Any sort of big competition, World Cup or Euros, you know, you're just not going to get a lot of deals until the teams are eliminated or the competition is over for, say, the bigger teams. You're not going to be talking Paul Pogba new deal until France is out of the competition. Just the way it goes, it slows everything down. And for a team like Manchester United, who we know day late, dollar short in that boardroom, they're not prepared for the amount of business they need to do. The goalkeeper situation, Paul Pogba's deal, Declan Rice, Jesse Lingard, Martial loan deal, new striker, sir. Do we need a number nine? I have no idea. What is John Murtaugh doing? Craziness at Manchester United at the moment.
It's a lot on his plate. New man, new director of football, at least in name only. You know, he might just be head scout, but he's got a lot to do this summer, sir. You mentioned it. You went through the list. That's a short list. I think there's more names beyond that. But a lot of ingoings, a lot of outgoings. We need to make some big signings. And the one that's, you know, first and foremost in everyone's mind because it's getting the most coverage is obviously Jadon Sancho. I think there'll be a deal done, but it's like there's more to be done. Sir, they'll give it to us because the fodder. They just know it's cheap, it's easy, good and cheap compared to what he was costing last year. And I'm sure they, with the installments, they can make it work given the limited number of dollars in the bank account.
Sir, I'm over Jadon Sancho.
He's not the priority. So am I. I want a center back. No, like, that's all I care about. Center back CDM.
Sir, you know, I'm trying to think about it from, you know, the club perspective, right? And if you're trying to, if Joel Glazer wants to get on a call and say, we really want to win every trophy, we really want to do everything. Look, he got Brady, he got Gronk, he got AB. They did a lot of moves at Tampa Bay. For anyone who follows NFL, you know, it's off topic, but they own that team. They made a lot of moves to show their intention to win a championship. They won a championship. I am not seeing the sense of urgency at Manchester United that you see across the pond at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Snoozing right now. It's like you should be getting these deals done early before Euros. Sancho has to be before Euros. The Pogba new deal has to be before Euros. And then you can sort out the rest of the business after, but they just leave it late. There's too much to do. And we know how they operate. And it just, they're going to fumble it once again because there's so much going on at United. They can't focus on that many deals simultaneously. Such a transition summer for United, such an important one to back our manager, and we can strengthen. And I feel they're going to leave it late, and it's going to be a nightmare of a summer. Some say they don't even know what their budget is. That's how off the board is.
Well, you know what? Shame on us for thinking it'd be anything otherwise. Because the last seven, yeah, 8 summers, it's been a disaster every single time. A couple of them, they've cobbled together some overpriced players that, you know, weren't even who the previous manager was going after, and they've all been pretty average buys. But this is the same. It's like there's so much deals to be done. They should have gotten Sancho done before the Euros. They should have definitely brought a contract to Paul Pogba before the Euros, because according to his camp, he hasn't even seen an offer, and it really looks like he's leaving for free. I mean, it's like it all points point to that, and I can't see anything else happening.
No, I look, the Paul Pogba situation, he's leaving for free. That's just how it's going to go. There's no way we're going to convince him to stay at Manchester United given the business we're about to do. And it all starts at the boardroom, so fans, do not take your eye off the ball. Hashtag Glazers Out was running big. It's obviously died down because United are out of, you know, the conversation. But Joel, with these comments online, fan forum promises he doesn't have the money to pay for all this stuff at the end of the day. And so when they say they want to win trophies, it's like this transfer window is showing me the same. You might say we're two biased fans on the couch losing our heads early in the summer window. It is true.
Definitely true.
That is true. But with this club, and the financials came out as well, sir. We will get into that later in the podcast. Too much of the same, sir. The dividends going out. The intent to win is not there. It's Manchester United, sir. I don't want to drop the F-bomb that early in the podcast, but it's just killing me that the boardroom, their intentions do not match what this club deserves. And that is the disconnect for the fans, because when you see Grealish, shitty lining up Jack Grealish, that's an L. Haaland going to Chelsea, that's an L. All this stuff passing us by. How many more years is it going to pass us by before we're signing Andy Carroll, sir, like the Scouse bastards? You know,
speaking of which, I mean, we were being attracted to Danny Ings early in the season. I wouldn't put it past United.
No, we used to laugh at them because they're just trying to buy these players to come compete with us. And now it's the tables have turned, sir. How many years before we won a title? I mean, they did 30 at the rate we're going, at the pace our owners are going. When are we going to win a title? When shitty's getting bounced in the Champions League and buying Jack Grealish for a record fee?
Well, you can't do it. It's not going to happen under the Glazers. I mean, I've said that before, and I will stand by that. Like, Manchester United will never win another title as long as the Glazers own us, because they're not going to do what needs to be done this summer, because if they did, some of these deals would have already been done. They would have gotten Sancho done, because the fee hasn't changed from the fee that it was 2-3 months ago, because you know Dortmund are hot to sell. They've got other assets to worry about. They got a Haaland, then Bellingham, and on it goes, because they just have a conveyor belt of moving bodies through and getting huge fees out of them. That would have been done. Pogba would have had a fat offer on his plate to think about, instead of being with his boys and, you know, the French team, hearing about how great it is to be in Paris. So this stuff should have been done already. We're signing Tom Heaton. It's like, Tom Heaton, how many goalies we got? We got goalies coming out of our ears. But either way, you know, it's more the same for Manchester United board. And that's the problem. It's like John Murtaugh, poor guy. But basically that was just to like buy them some breathing room. That was kind of a precursor to the Super League announcement. But either way, it's not good. It's going to be a long summer, sir. Don't get excited. They're going to give you Sancho late, and that'll be about it. We're not getting no Sancho, Varane, Declan Rice, and you're going to watch Jack Grealish and those massive calves headed over to the other side of Manchester. I'm not going to be happy about that, because he's a player, bro. He is a player.
And you need to sign players. You got to sign players. Jack Grealish is a player, sir. Seeing him come to Manchester United. He said all the right things in the press. You know, and it's like that player, you got to, obviously Villa staying up is what killed that deal. We would have got him if Villa were relegated for probably a discount, you know, like Eddie likes it. But because they stayed up, Jack Grealish price goes up and shitty will probably grab him. And you're looking at us being like, okay, it's Sancho or bust. Not only is it Sancho or bust, but let's haggle over every penny for Jadon Sancho, which is really just wasting time and brain space for the Manchester United, you know, the director of football, if you will, to go out and do deals. If you see Chelsea last window, just efficient business, get them in, get it done, pay good prices for good players. Hey, they won the Champions League. You know, I hate Chelsea scum.
Hate them.
But the reason they're hoisting the Champions League trophy, you know, is one of those big signings. That's why you do it. Manchester United, that was our playbook. That's how we won all these titles and trophies that we all love to brag about. But right now, we're day late, dollar short FC with too much business to do. And with these Muppets running the show, I don't think we're going to see a lot from them. Obviously, you go in our Discord, you might hear different things. So you might hear, we got plenty of money. Financial situation's great. Sign all these players. Hey, I like Santa Claus too, sir. But one day I was told he's not real. And that's just the way it is.
There's a before clause and an after clause, sir. This can be a bad window, and we sign Jadon Sancho. We could sign Jadon Sancho, and it's still not a successful window because there's so much to do. There's so much to shore up. There's so many key positions that we need to strengthen. I think they're going to give us one big name. The rest will be bargain bin, good and cheap kind of stuff.
No, but whatever it is, you can speculate whatever it's going to be. But the work
they're taking too long.
No, but the processes that they have followed to get us to where we are the same ones. Eddie's still...
He's still in charge.
He's still at the helm, and they're doing the same drag it out, penny pinching negotiation. You can't tell me they're flush with cash because they're a public company. Number one, they're not. and number two, they're negotiating like they don't have any money, and they're putting all the milestones on the back end to the point where Dortmund won't sign the deal because they don't have that much money, sir.
And there's a rep. We've established a rep at this time because Ed Woodward, Matt Jughead Judge, is still in charge of transfer negotiations and contract re-ups at Manchester United. And he's the same guy in charge. And the thing is, the market knows that that were run by a bunch of numpties. So they know that, like, we'll drag our feet, drag our feet, drag our feet, and eventually acquiesce and pay the price, because they're going to pay full price for Sancho. It's just about finding structuring the deal, because, you know, Dortmund aren't going to sell otherwise. And what you said at the beginning was true. It's all it's doing is wasting time, because even if you're going to go do deals for other players and aren't for Ron and sweat player swaps, you need time in order to do it. And you can't do it one at a time, right? Chelsea signed 8 players last transfer window, spent £200 million for Fat Frank. And are they going to give Ole that kind of gunpowder to play with? I don't think so. Especially finishing second, the team needs the push. And instead, it's going to be the bare minimum product. It's like, give them a big name to get the fans off our back and give, you know, the manager a couple players to play with. But it's not going to be enough to push on for 21, given how much City are going to strengthen and how much Chelsea are likely to strengthen. The fat, oil-rich teams are going to keep spending money.
Yeah, it's the sense of urgency for Manchester United. It's almost like we have to be making the most moves with the most intent in the transfer market, given how everyone else ended. Chelsea wins the Champions League title, City win the EPL title, Energy Drink Cup, whatever. And we are sitting there with nothing in second, and we should be sending shots fired. So that's what I was saying. We need signings to like get the Shitties of the world, get the Chelseas of the world looking back over their shoulder, worrying about Manchester United. At the moment, nobody is worried about Manchester United. Paul Pogba leaving on a free. That is not scary stuff. But, sir, we could go all day. It's the Summer Transfer Muppetry Podcast. Quick PSA. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. Part of that creed is we do a season-ending survey every single year. We love getting feedback from you, the fans, whether it's hot banter. You can have a laugh at Alex and I. By the way, this is John speaking.
I'm Alex.
Because people asked us in the survey already. I don't know who you guys are as far as who's talking, etc. But we love the feedback. It keeps us authentic. That is what we try to do year in, year out, the American Red Devils. More pods never sleep, and then do what you guys want. I mean, we obviously talk quite a bit about transfers, the Glazers, etc. But the survey helps us hone in on what you guys want to hear. And, you know, we're trying to get better, sir. We're not perfect. You know, we just turn on the microphone and hit go.
Far from it. You can tell.
No, absolutely. We are not edited. We literally hit go, and then that is it. But if you want to fill out the survey, you can win $100 of American Red Devils merchandise. We used to give away a jersey, but, you know, hashtag Glazers Out cannot do that anymore. It is on our Twitter profile. It's a pinned tweet. It's a click to a Google form. It takes about 5 minutes. You fill it out. You're entered to win some swag. We will hook you up. If you don't want to fill out the season-ending survey, that hurts our feelings. But you should also check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, sir. We drop an exclusive behind-the-scenes American Red Devils podcast. We're in the running to get season tickets this year. Very exciting stuff. You want to hear more about what we got going behind the scenes, sign up at patreon.com. Big shout-out to Nick, Sir Bobby Charlton, Stan supporter, and Brian. You guys are the real MVPs. We're trying to grow our Patreon support to 100 members. We're a little over 50 right now. Small time shop. So please support us. Also check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great coverage from Euro 2021 and the Transfer Muppetry as well. Click on store. Check out our merchandise, sir. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews, they're a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. All you have to do, make a 5-star review on iTunes, send a screenshot to americanreddevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we'll get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door for no dollars. ASAP Rocky, sir, as you know I like to say. And if you've written one, write another one, because you know what? They've been a little slow the last couple of weeks. We need some more of those reviews coming in. They do a lot to help us get found organically, sir. I think you have one. Don't have one, but it doesn't matter. Send a screenshot with your mailing address. We'll get you some stickers. Absolutely free, sir. What you got?
Sir, you haven't convinced me to do a review. Please keep review. Going.
It's a great way to support the pod.
Sir, I'd love to have a laugh. It's a little hot here in the bunker. We do not have air conditioning
here
in Northern California. But hope everyone is having a great summer and watching some international football, sir. Speaking of international football, we got the Eurowatch 2021. You're our resident Euros expert at the American Red Devils. Please tell us about the United players and performances. You know, someone like myself, I've watched some of the big games. You know, I haven't been like all in on the Euros. I say I'm rooting for England, sir, given, you know, I think most of my family is from England as well. So I'm picking England in the Euros. But until knockout stages, I'm not going to be all in.
You know what? There's a team that I like, and that's the team we're going to start with, sir. They were in action yesterday. It's Portugal, the Portuguesas, playing against Germany. Tough match for them. Bruno didn't have the best showing, but they started the tournament with a big win against Hungary. Bruno getting some contribution there, as well as Cristiano Ronaldo scoring a bunch of goals. What a player he is. What a player he would look like in red, sir.
I did watch this game. People kind of, Bruno got the blame. I mean, I just think Germany's better than Portugal. So first of all, I think there's no surprise that Germany won. And then second of all, you know, Bruno just hasn't been playing up to his level that everyone, I think this is a big tournament for Bruno, right? Cristiano Ronaldo, Portugal, that's it pretty much. Now you got Bruno Fernandes in the hole, and people expect him to do what he does for United on Portugal, and it hasn't really come off. You know, he's got to be tired. He was kind of ending the season the same way, you know, players go through these different phases. So I think people are a little harsh on Bruno in Portugal right now.
Well, he's got a target on his back because he's a Manchester United player. And of course, like our star man at the moment gets a lot of heat in the EPL, right? Because the penalties, of course. But yesterday wasn't his best day. He played well in the Hungary match. Portugal have a big match against France on Wednesday to kind of lock up the group because it's a bit of a jump ball at the moment between Portugal, Germany, and France. So that'll be a big match, obviously, with Paul Pogba also in action. Sure, sir. He's been playing pretty well. They had a 1-1 draw yesterday, also with Hungary. That was kind of a tough match, but that's all there has to be said about Portugal, sir. Good team to like, though. You know, Bruno Fernandes, big performance from him when he comes back from Manchester United, because you have to remember, he's played more games in the last 365 days than any other player in the world, which is not a good thing.
Sir, my grandmother's from Portugal. That's the other side. I picked England, though. So, you know, as far as Portugal goes, not concerned.
Sir, I'm rooting for Portugal. Why not? Lovely place to visit. Next team to look at is Wales with Dan James. He's been playing well. He had a really good performance in the opener against the Swiss and also played pretty well against Turkey. On the counter, big time. They lost today to Italy, but they are advancing to through the group stage. So that's good to see. Dan James making a name for himself, sir. Looking like a player that, you know, we probably shouldn't sell right away.
Dude, starting internationally is big. I mean, at the Euros, getting confidence. You know, James has always been on the periphery of United. Didn't play as much of a role as we wanted to see last season. I think he's a man on the outs if Sancho comes. I think he's surplus, probably gets dealt for, you know, 15, 20. Although Eddie's selling him, so it's probably five, and we got to pay some of his wages, you know?
I know Eddie likes to do it, sir. He's not good at his job, but that's good for him to get an opportunity, you know, to star for his team. They did lose today, like we said, 1-0 to Italy, but they're moving on. Next player that we're talking about is Scotty McSauce McTominay for Scotland. Sir, I don't know if anyone watched this game on Friday. It was Friday, wasn't it? It was England-Scotland, obviously an old rivalry to the old dogs in the footballing world. Scotty played. He's been playing as like a third center back on the right side. Looked decent, but, you know, obviously out of position. It was a 0-0 snooze fest. What is Gareth Southgate thinking, sir, starting that lineup that he did?
So now you're getting to my team here in this tournament. England, you know, the aspirations to win the tournament, the team they have, and then the selection by Southgate. This, sir, England is Manchester United. They're playing the two, defensive two, right? Phillips and Rice.
Which is such a mistake.
Exactly. It's like,
You don't need to play both.
Always playing conservative. He's playing too conservative with great players, and they can't attack. Slow, pedestrian. It's like you're watching Manchester United, and it's like,
we're not as stacked as England.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies watching this. I'm like, I thought I needed a break from this type of football for a little while.
No, it's no doubt in that. So the Scots, we're on the Scots. The Scots look like it's unlikely that they're going to advance throughout their round into the next stage. But big match against Croatia, but that's looking like a big foe for them. Hey, Scotty McSauce playing center back. You don't like to see that. But England also have a big match. So you want to tell me about that?
So, I mean, as far as England's concerned, performances to date.
The checks.
You know, I would say Luke Shaw has been getting a good run out. Harry Maguire hasn't featured. Rashford's been surplus requirements. I don't understand what Southgate's doing with Sancho, Rashford, and obviously Grealish too. So the questions for Southgate is really going to be, he's got a boss, Czech Republic, coming up on Tuesday. That's noon Pacific. So that's going to be the game I'm going to be watching. I'm also going to watch Portugal, France. You can't miss those. But as far as England, you need to see Rashford. I hope to see Maguire. Luke Shaw's been playing well, but it's, you know, as far as it's kind of like I'm more worried about England than I am Manchester United players on England. But Manchester United players in England, they're on the bench. We had the Chelsea fan texting us on the text thread making fun of us that Maguire's not starting, Rashford's not starting. But then you say Jadon Sancho's not starting and Jack Grealish isn't starting. I mean, those are big questions. Sancho might come to United record fee. Then Grealish might go to shitty record fee and Southgate doesn't see anything in him. I think Southgate has like this teacher's pet thing going on where you got the bad boy Sancho and Grealish. You know, Grealish, I don't know, crashed his Range Rover during COVID while he was like partying with, you know, all this stuff. Photos coming out of Grealish, you know, Greenwood with Iceland, Sancho, I'm sure, you know, there's probably just, he doesn't like the guys who have too much edge, but I think you need those guys to win. So you got to be playing them.
I think the team needs a little bit of edge because you haven't been seeing that, especially the double CDM. I think that's a great analogy to Ole, unfortunately. Obviously, like I said, they're not as stacked, but they don't need to play that conservatively. Big game against the Czechs. We'll see what happens.
And then, sir, on the next one, Sweden and Spain.
Sweden and Spain, the only one that's really been playing. Obviously, De Gea is on the Spanish side, but he hasn't played at all.
Benched.
And Victor Lindelof, you know, he got high marks in the first match, which I think was a 0-0 draw against Spain. He received man of the match for that game. But at the moment, Sweden's top of the group. Spain is third with 2 points.
For the record, there's nothing Victor Lindelof can do at the Euros to change my mind that he should be sitting third seat to whoever we sign this summer in the center back position. There's nothing he can do after that game against Villarreal.
Sir, he could carry Sweden on their backs to the Euro championship. I don't think he is your number two center back. You know, based on some of the play we've seen from the French side, German side, it's like he's not good enough, unfortunately, to be your starting center back with Harry Maguire. Has to be a position that we upgrade this summer. But he's a good number three or four, but he's just not your starter.
Sir, the last one here, we touched on it, France. How are you feeling about Paul Pogba? Everyone's saying Paul Pogba for France is a different player. I think they're right. What do you make of that?
I think they're right. I mean, I think anyone who's playing on a team as stacked as that French side, obviously in a very tough group, but right now, top of the group, ahead of Germany, ahead of Portugal. He's been playing very well, but you're playing next to the best CDM in the world, N'Golo Kanté. Should have been, you know, that another player that United should have picked up off of Leicester. You think about how much we paid for Fred. Chelsea paid less for N'Golo Kanté, and he's the best CDM in the world by a mile. And I think that's, you know, a huge reason why Paul Pogba plays so well in that France side. He does all the work for him. He gets to play forward, and he's also playing with some pretty solid players on the front side of the pitch. Ever heard of this guy, Mbappe? He's pretty good.
Sir, I'll tell you what. You know, the analogy for this one is like you're dating a girl, you break up, and then you see her like, dating someone better than you and she's like lost 10 pounds or something, you know, that like you feel bad. Like seeing Pogba play that well, track back all over the pitch, the desire, the passion, the mentality. And then you see him play for United. Like, I'm not, he's a different player for France. Who's he playing around? Sir, don't tell me that Paul Pogba's trying as hard on United as he does for France. I mean, he clearly wants to leave. He's going to leave. You can't look at his performance for United and look at his performance for France and say this is a player who's really stoked to be at United for the long term. You can't say that unless he just wants a big check. There's a clear difference. Roy Keane, Patrick Vieira, they talked about. They said he is a different player when he's playing for France.
A part of it's the team he's playing with. There's definitely a little bit more of the effort. He's tracking back in a way I've never seen him do for this United side. So you think you feel bad now? Wait till he leaves for free. With the two birds lifted up. Be like, joins PSG. He gets paid $500,000 a year. It's like, you feel bad now. Okay. Give it a year.
Mark my words.
Let's mark it. He's leaving for free.
I'm putting it down, sir. You can mark the timestamp. When Paul Pogba leaves this club, wherever he goes, he will play just as good at that team as he did for France. And I think we saw a bit of that. We saw a bit of that Paul Pogba when Mourinho was fired. We did see it.
For glimpses.
We saw it for a certain period. I think it was like maybe a couple of weeks. He played like that, and he'll play like that at PSG, Juve, wherever he goes. He will be lights out. Where was this guy for 4 years?
He's probably going to PSG. He's going to go to an inferior league, right? He's either going to go to France or at Spain. And at the moment, Spain is an inferior league to the Premier League. So it's like he's going to go there and be able to tear it up, use his physicality in a way that he can't do in England, not have to play as much defense. That's fair. He's going to be a worldie. So sorry, it's going to be a bitter pill to swallow, because if they should deal him, they should deal him now where they can get something in return. But he's going to leave, and that's going to be one of the biggest eggs on Eddie's head in the history of his tenure of running this club into the ground. Is like, you broke the transfer record and bringing your boy home £89 million, and then he's going to leave for free, bro, at 28, and be like, see ya. That's bad.
It's bad, but as far as, I'm not a Glazer, so I could care less about the money management side of it when it relates to Ed Woodward losing them money, because Ed Woodward was the one who bottled that. He's obviously leaving, and so, you know, under my watch, that wouldn't happen, because I'd go to him in year two or year three and renegotiate a new deal, and if he wouldn't sign the new deal, then I would put him on the block. That's kind of pretty standard operating procedure. I think that was the plan, and COVID did hit, but still, he's the way Eddie postures in the transfer market, it's so stupid, is that we can only lob in insulting bids to when we're going to buy, and we can only ask for like stupid prices when we sell, so it leads to not buying anyone and not selling anyone, which, who loses?
United
loses, and Ed Woodward never figured it out, and he's heading out the door, so I can only imagine who Ed Woodward 2.0 is going to be.
We're looking at it. I think we're looking at it right now, sir. I think his name is John Murtaugh, poor guy.
He's not going to be running the club.
Dude, they're going to just appoint like the next banker in charge. It's going to be some guy I've never heard of who's probably like the CFO or the chief, like, you know, whatever, villain. And I don't think it's going to be any big name player, like, you know, football head that we're going to be excited about, a la like an Edwin van der Sar.
And, you know, sir, there's a little bit of, you know.
Your lips are moving and you're complaining about something. That's whinging.
It's hard to be a Manchester United podcaster and not whinge a little bit, sir.
No, I'm saying, you know, I also want people to realize that, you know, when it comes to the team, we keep a real positive viewpoint throughout the season, because that's kind of what the players need. It's what we need as fans. It's true. Because we don't want to hammer in the performances. It's so reactionary. But when it comes to a 10-year track record at the board level, especially with Ed Woodward coming in and doing what he's done, Fellaini, Igalo, I mean, you could go through the whole list, like Depay going to Barca now. It's like, you know, Zaha, great.
No
other
buyback clause. Like
so much of this stuff, Evans, that was just fumbled by him, and it's just run like they don't know what they're doing. And then that's kind of what enables the situation. So for us to kind of complain about it, it has to be said that, you know, the way things are run in an organization like this, it's not run in the way where we're focusing on winning titles, because that starts in the boardroom and it trickles down to not hiring a guy like Ed Woodward, right? Because Ed Woodward's not getting the deals done. Ed Woodward, you're a problem with us signing top talent and trying to win. So you need to go, and we need a guy who can actually figure out how to negotiate these deals and get them done soon, so we can be set and our manager can have the players he wants. Not just like this, can't get it done. All right, we'll get Igalo from China on the last day, or we'll sign obviously Edison Cavani, you know, who end up, those punts can turn out right. But Di Maria is another good example of a player who we got who didn't really want to come in late, and instead you'd probably rather just get Sancho last year, get Maguire the year before that, and do the right business at the right time and pay the right price, sir. And that will hopefully lead us to titles versus whatever we're doing now.
So they don't know what they're doing, and they don't care enough to fix it. That's what's the most disheartening, is they've failed summer after summer after summer and done nothing to change it.
No, but prove me wrong. That's also what I'm trying to say. Joel Glazer tells the fans, we want to win every trophy. Prove that to me. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong that this track record can be corrected. Prove me wrong that you really want to fix Old Trafford. Prove me wrong in a lot of ways. So it's on the come, but that right now the criticism is valid, because we are starting this window like we have started most of them. And, you know, Euros does add a kink in it. So there, you could be done, but sir, it's good to be difficult. Not because our transfer window ends early. You got Euros. So this type of environment is going to be difficult for anyone to do good business. I don't think Manchester United necessarily realize that yet. But let's jump into the Muppetry, sir. We got United in the news. United in the news, sir. Bringing you all the craziness in the transfer window. I think we're just having the same conversation we had last week.
Basically, nothing's happened.
Sancho, watch.
No progress.
We've been watching Jadon Sancho how long, sir?
Years.
2 years. All I know is Gareth Southgate, what's just smoking that he ain't playing? I don't understand how Sancho does not get into this team. It makes no sense to me as far as Euros. We're going to go with the truth, Fabrizio Romano. He's in the know. Quote, Sancho deal, Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund are still negotiating. Players camp as clubs confident and optimistic to reach an agreement. Payment structure and add-ons key to complete the deal, but there's no total agreement yet. This is just Manchester United not having the money. I mean, clearly the price is the price is the price. You want to complicate the deals with structures and add-ons. That's really because Manchester United just don't want to pay up for them, right? So then you're just haggling over this, how many goals he scores or titles or Champions Leagues and how much that's worth and the aggregate part of the deal and then the chance that we actually do that. So then you put a weight on how you value those add-ons, and they're actually off balance sheet items from Manchester United's financial perspective too. They're not really disclosing the financial statements as far as these add-ons and the value of these add-ons. So financially, it helps United to have more of this and more complicated deals. And it sounds to me like with Jadon Sancho, that's all they want. Pay less up front, complicate the deal. Yes, we'll probably get there. Like we said, Sancho will be signed for Manchester United. I don't know any inside information, but I know that will happen. But the question is, devil's in the details, and United want to complicate this transaction so they can try to limit upfront cash payments, because cash, we only have $86 million, sir. There's not a lot on hand at the moment.
There's not a lot on hand at the moment. The fee that Dortmund want is 80 million pounds. That is a reduction from last year. I think last year they wanted 105. I could be remembering incorrectly, but I believe it was something around there. So roughly like a 25% haircut to what they asked for last year. But now it's still haggling over peanuts, sir. Instead of like making up the time and having this deal be done now so we can focus on the next one, the big one in many ways, the center back. That is such a big signing for this side, because I think you can win. You can compete more effectively with a better center back than necessarily another attacking option. So we're offering 75. They want 80. So there's a bit of it that's on add-ons. But that's classic United, dragging their feet. The more time it takes you to do a transfer, the less time you have to do subsequent transfers. And that means the less money you have to spend. So that's like, I think that's some that's some Eddie Woodward logic.
Yeah, no, it is. And just to give you the straight and arrow, they are, Manchester United is a public company. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They have to disclose their financials. As of March 31st, they only had, sir, I'm pulling up the press release, cash, 85 million pounds, 84.7. They're offering 67 up front. That's got to be paid to Dortmund today. Obviously, it is June, almost June 30th, right? And this is going to be another quarter, right? So we're lagging, as financial reporting does. So how much money could Manchester United add to their balance sheet? 20 million? That's the most they added. They added that in December when they got the Champions League payout. So as far as no fans, the summer is not a time when they're stacking cash right now. So they have, the at most could have 90, 100 million. They're offering 67 of that now for Jadon Sancho. How much more of that can they offer, right? So you really start seeing how the skinny is with cash. And then you say, okay, well, the Glazers also took a dividend. So that 8 million pound dividend matters in this transfer, because that 8 million pounds is the milestone. So they could just bring that up front and get Sancho today. So I don't run this club. I don't run it this way. I'd have a lot more cash on the balance sheet if I were them. Whether, look, as far as their EBITDA to debt goes, 4 to 5x levered is not insane. They could raise more debt, but are the Glazers going to put more debt to buy Jadon Sancho? Probably not. So how are they going to finance this stuff? And that's the question that Wall Street investors have. So when you're going to go out and pay $70 million for Sancho, you only get $84 million in cash. People are going to have questions, sir. They're not stacking cash in the summer because they're not getting those big broadcasting payouts that come in December. For them to really stack their coffers with cash, it's going to take a year. So when it comes to Jadon Sancho, you know, Manchester United need to sell some players right now. They need to sell Jesse Lingard. This is kind of the financing stuff is getting real tight here. Unless they do a move where they raise more money in the stock market or they add more debt. But adding debt for player fees, I don't think is something that Glazers are thinking about. They're not going that all in to try to win the EPL next year. So they're probably just going to have a okay summer and then punt it to next summer.
And we also, I think we're still owed money on the Romelu Lukaku deal, which is unbelievable. 30 to 40 million pounds are still owed to us by Inter. He is killing it. He looks great for Belgium. Speaking of United watch, I mean, I hate to say, he looks lights out at the moment for that Belgium side. keep in mind, you want to know how abhorrent these owners are, sir? It's like they continue to take dividends through a pandemic when this is a sports team that relies on people coming to the stadium that aren't allowed to come to the stadium. So you would think that in like extraordinary circumstances, like a pandemic where they basically can't have fans in, they're losing $2 to $3 million per home game in match revenue and whatever superstore stuff, they would halt the dividend. That's what like a reasonable owner would do. It's like, it's bad enough to take the dividend. They kept taking the dividend when we're already on our knees. So it tells you everything you need to know about the Glazers. Buy a Glazers Out scarf, sir. $9.99 at AmericaRedDevils.com. Best value in town.
No, and it's true. But when you start talking about the dividends, you talk about the interest payments as well, right? Talking cash going out the door, as far as Manchester United is concerned, it's like, it's really boring to discuss this stuff. It's not exciting, but given our backgrounds in finance and then evaluating the club's balance sheet and looking at how it's impacting, like, you and me start this pod, when Manchester United has $350 million in cash on the balance sheet, we're not talking about cash every quarter. We're not even thinking about it. But when Manchester United are run in a certain way where they run the cash balance down, then a pandemic hits and they're scrapping by. Look at last summer, sir. I told you we're not signing Jadon Sancho. We can't afford it. We don't have the money.
And guess what?
Now we have the money, but barely.
We have the money, right? For him and no one else.
But you talk about Lukaku payment, you talk about selling Lingard, you can get creative. That's what I'm saying, that I think United could do it. But if you just say Manchester United are not going to be back to the top until we have like 18 months of full capacity, fans in seats, double Champions League qualifications, then the cash coffers are going to be stacked with a couple hundred mil and they can go out and spend it. Now the question is, does not spending money now or making moves now cost us Champions League? You know, we already saw what happened this season where we got bounced pretty early. We got, I think, to get second, we got lucky. A lot of other teams fell by the wayside. So, you know, the Glazers got to be careful here. But this is a precarious situation for the club. And I think it's best for everyone just to admit we need new ownership. Because why are we worried about owners who are going to lie to us at fan forums and then, you know, act like this in the transfer market? It's so transparent, the financials, that you really can't make this up, sir. It's you can't get away from it.
No, you can't. And it's a good point. And it's just like, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Because you know what? Like, you brought up a really good point, is we need to do deals in order to even maybe fund a bigger coffer to buy these additional players beyond Sancho, because we need a lot more than just Sancho. So it's the fact that they cannot be like wheeling and dealing Lingard, who didn't even make the England team. So that shouldn't be an issue with the Euros. You should be able to go try and get deals done because he's not involved with the squad. We can only do one at a time, sir. And there's only so much time in the window. That is insane, bro. If you're actually thinking about it, it's like, I can only do one player at one time. I signed Tom Heaton. Jadon Sancho's next. Then maybe we'll talk about Pogba. He's going to leave him free. It's like, oh, yeah, we got to maybe sell De Gea. We got to figure out the goalie position. Jesse Lingard, we need a CDM. We're buying Trippier. It's like, apparently that's the priority. So I don't know. Up from down. Like,
and, you know, you guys say it's like, credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for somehow cobbling it together when it comes a season kickoff to go on another campaign. You know, people are going to criticize Ole and like, yeah, we talked about the two in the midfield and slow side to side and not enough tempo, whatever. But if you look at the sync between the boardroom, the director of football, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it's like, Ole doesn't like Tuan Zebe, sell him, get a new center back in. Ole doesn't rate Dan James, sell him, get somebody else in. But because we're not bringing people in, the sense of urgency isn't there. Ole's stuck with kind of whatever he's got. Like, oh, I wanted to get Haaland, you got me Cavani, I'll make that work. And so credit to Ole for kind of cut a unhappy Paul Pogba wants to leave on a free. Somehow he'll get him to show up. And so you got it.
Yes.
There's that element with Ole where he is fighting with one hand tied behind his back. And this summer is going to be a big one, because what should be Sancho, Varane, and Rice could be Sancho, no YouTube highlight, who center are back guy. And like...
Who are you? Yeah, that's CDM.
And like cauliflower rice. You know, it's going to be, it's going to get, you're going to be like, Facundo, who's that?
Exactly. How's he doing? How's your right winger?
Who? And we'll get there. We'll get there, sir. We've seen this movie before. Speaking of seeing it before, I would say Jack Grealish is probably your number one crush. If you had one out there in the transfer market, sir, those Cavs, they're going to go be wearing city blue. You're going to be sad.
Break my freaking heart.
Your second, you're like a big Varane guy, you know, big fan of him. Although I haven't seen he doesn't have quite the calf game Grealish has.
No, who does, to be honest? I mean, like that calf game is unrivaled, I would say, anywhere in Europe, let alone the world. No, we're on to the next story. Varane's in talks with Manchester United. This is according to Marca. Obviously, Sergio Ramos announced, or the club announced, that he would be leaving Real Madrid. So that does kind of complicate things. Alaba, right? Alaba just moved from Bayern Munich to Real Madrid. So that's one center back there. But Varane, you know, last year of his contract, he's a player that I've liked a long time. I liked him even when Fergie was trying to sign him. And then Zidane swooped in before he was even coach, just working with Real Madrid to kind of sign him up for that, for the Royals. But I love this to be a priority, sir. But like you said, going through that balance sheet and talking about how much of that money up front is going to go towards Sancho, there's not a lot to play for when you have a competent Real Madrid front office that knows that there's demand for Varane. Chelsea want him, PSG want him, and we want him. And those are all big names. And those other two names have a lot more cash than we do. So this, you know, for me, should have been the priority. Is like Sancho will be there.
It's not either or. You could sell Lingard. You could sell James. There's players that we can move, right? And then the Lukaku fee. You're right about that one, right? That's enough to do Sancho Varane. I think a Sancho Varane summer would be a win for Manchester United at this point. When you're looking at the balance sheet, you're looking at the boardroom. This type of outcome would be solid. Now, if you get to like Sancho Pau Torres, then you're starting all over again. I like 1 year on the contract. Great player. This is kind of has us written all over it. We've been dying for a center back. Like this deal, 50 million last year. That's overpaying, and you get a quality player for 5 years.
It's worth it.
The problem is he's got the French connect. You know, Pogba's playing with him right now. Pogba could say good things about United. He could say bad things about United. Look for that, you know. And if they both link up at PSG, how'd that happen? And Mbappe plays for France, tells him to come to PSG. You know, they all end up there, and PSG's win the Champions League. United. Playing Villarreal, sir. Kicking penalties against Villarreal. That's it. Yeah.
Kill me now.
We'll be back.
Kill me
we'll
now.
Be back.
We'll be back. We'll be back in 10 short years, sir.
I'll tell you what, I have it's one of those things where it's like Hans and Franz are coming back on this podcast, unfortunately.
You know it. You definitely know it.
Look, that's all the real transfer news. Nothing to report, but just kind of tracking, you know, United stumbling through the transfer window. Sir, you got an update on the Discord. We have our transfer news Discord. We have an insider there, sir. You are reading all the updates from anything that our insider on Discord is saying that we have not covered here.
Sir, I've not abandoned our Discord insider yet. We have an in-the-know, an acclaimed in-the-know.
Self-proclaimed.
Hey, but you know what? I trust him. Fool me once. That's what they say. So, you know, I'm still hoping he comes through. He says Sancho deal is effectively done. Then he said, you know, United might be screwing it up. Now he said it's back on wheels. Sancho, then Trippier, and then hopefully focusing on center back. Varane should be the priority. But I'm hoping that our in-the-know insider comes through, sir. Sancho feels likely. It's just that, like, what else can we get done? Because it has to be Sancho plus some.
Sir, I could say we're signing Sancho. And like, we sign him. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's like it's gonna happen. Doesn't mean that I'm inside the boardroom of Manchester United.
Tell me what you really think, sir.
No, I'm just telling you.
Anyone could say it, but you know what? I'm a Muppet. Number one Muppeteer. I go hook, line, sinker.
Okay, here you go. I got something. It says Sancho eminent, Varane 75% signing, Trippier 90% signing. Trippier's gone dead. He also said Sancho tomorrow, and that was Monday. So, you know, as far as that goes, like, first of all, you're an insider on our Discord. What do you mean? That's like... I'm from New Jersey, so, you know, when someone says something, I usually question it. That's kind of where I am. Sir, you love the in the nose. You love the journey, the feeling of, you know, someone feeding it just for you on the American Red Devils Discord. I don't know if you're trolling yourself.
No, sir. I guess I lived in California too long. I've got a little soft. So
for me, troll recognized troll. You say Sancho's done tomorrow. First of all, I don't believe you. Second of all, it didn't happen. So there you go.
I'm buying in a couple of weeks. He's got a couple of weeks.
You're dead to me.
Get the deal done in June. The deal better be done in June.
I'm going to read some more quotes here. Worst case scenario, net spend of 130 million pounds. Worst case scenario.
That's a lot of money.
I'm going to write these on the board here. and be like Nedsmith 130 million and 90% getting Trippier, 75% getting Varane. 75% is pretty certain, sir.
Three out of four.
That's pretty good. And you know, I would say 75% to PSG, and I have no inside information because he's from France. Pogba would tell him, why are you going to join United?
I mean, if you told me we had a 75% chance to sign Varane, I'd be pretty optimistic. That's pretty good chances. That's almost 80.
No, that's what I'm saying. So just tread lightly with the in the nose. Alex, how many in the nose have you been burned by in your career?
I don't know. How high can you count? Every summer there's a new one. I don't fall for it that much on Twitter, but Discord, the American Red Devils community, I'm bought in, baby. Let's go. I'll give you one summer. You fool me. You screw me, though. It's out. Yeah, I'm out. I'm never following the Discord again.
No. But it's look, in the nose are fun. I've never gotten into that stuff because I think everyone's usually full of it. Even like the proper journalists are full of it because they're not covering how much money United has and how much they can spend because they rather just cover everything and just get clicks, etc. So look, you got skeptical. You got somebody who's buying when he says Sancho's done. Tomorrow's the day, and there's no Sancho. Sir. That's all I got to say.
Maybe he's off a week. Maybe it's this Monday, sir. It's going to take a while.
That's what they always do. They say, oh, it's coming. And then it's like, oh, it doesn't come. Oh, and then it's announced. I told you so.
All right, June. I'm giving it June. I want to see Sancho, the number 7. I don't know what Cavani's going to pick up, but he's coming. He's coming home, baby.
Sir, you know what? If part of me feels bad if the guy is actually in the Manchester United. It could be Ed Woodward. Do you think Ed Woodward's in our Discord under an alias, just trolling us?
I want to put it past him. I tell you what, he's not focusing on his job. Yeah. Should be getting deals done.
Ed Woodward, hire us then, please. Just having a laugh. We love all the banter on the transfer news section of our Discord. It seems to me it's summer Muppetry. Everyone have a go.
Keep Sancho it coming.
Sancho's signing.
Keep it coming. You know,
let's go. Let's go. We need more YouTube highlight videos, though. That's what I think we're missing there.
I'll tell you, the best was the player that we were attached to like 2 months ago. It had no video. No video at all. That's the best.
That's the first. All right, next one here. Gary Neville does not like Manchester United's basic new home kit, which includes new sponsor Team Viewer. Sir, what do you make of this kit?
Sad. Sad from Adidas, sad from United, because I'm sure like United has to sign off on whatever kit is going to be their main kit next season. And they were probably just like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Because you know what? I look at this kit and I think whoever put it together went, yeah, whatever. Because this kit it's sad, man. It is sad. It's basic. I swear to God, they did the same kit under LVG, like identical kit. No difference other than that is now a Team Viewer, a company I still never heard of.
No, it was a V, and then they also had a larger, wider band on the sleeves.
Oh, that made it much
and
better.
I think also on the V, instead of the circle neck, there was a little black, and the stripes extended a little farther down the sleeve, sir. So just, you know, I am saying there are differences. As far as my rating, this is perfect. This kit is perfect. It perfectly sums up Manchester United at the moment. It really does. If you look, so sir, just to get in the bunker, we have some photos of some legendary players. I'm looking at one of Van Nistelrooy with the Vodafone, the Nike.
Great kit.
I got the Ronaldo I got in 07-08. But it's the 07-08 kit autographed, the champions, Barclays Premier League champions kit with the stripe. Ronaldo signing the 7, sir. Unbelievable here. You look at this kit, you're winning the league. This kit, you're winning the league. Whatever this kit is, says Hans and Franz.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a Hans and Franz kit.
Hans and Franz, come play. This says Villarreal penalties. That's what this kit is. And that's where we are. So Team Viewer says, who are you? And Manchester United, as far as a brand, as far as what the Glazers have done to this club, have got us Team Viewer. Now, this should be like some of the biggest companies in the world. Chevrolet is up. I don't necessarily like the grill, the gold grill, but it's up there as far as Coca-Cola. You know, it would be a nice one.
You wear it at your house, your mom's heard of it. Your kids are, you know, it's like any 5-year-old has heard of Chevrolet. You go to Thailand, you go to China, they've heard of Chevrolet. Sir, we work in technology. Nobody's heard of Team Viewer, bro.
Kohler on the sleeve. This jersey says just like, let us down.
Kohler's a bigger company. I mean, at least like I've heard of Kohler. Kohler's a bigger company than Team Viewer. It's like that just says like whoever is willing to splunk down for the front kit. It's like nobody, there wasn't a queue of people. They weren't batting them away. They were like, come on,
no, Team but Viewer, that is the got? Biggest. If you look at the macro of this club, the biggest thing is the shirt sponsor going down, the value of that going down. Now, people are trying to get clever and say, oh, well, now they're going to sell the trainings, all this stuff. This could actually be more aggregate. But no, you have someone who buys it all. It, you know, you look at these these deals and Manchester United, they're fading. So the stock price says it as well. Wall Street did not like this deal, and it's a step back for United. It's really, this is like obviously better than Everton's sponsor, you know, but it's a tier below the Madrids, the Barca's. This is a step back for Manchester United. This kit represents the times we are living, just like when I look at the Nike 0708, that represented the times that we were living.
That was a great kit. This looks like a shit kit, but it is true. I mean, that tells you everything. You know, the company on the front that's willing to pay us the money, if it's not a big name in 2021, we're like, brand is more than ever. And there's how many technology companies that are just flush with cash? We got TeamViewer. Sad days.
Yeah, it's like Tesla. You know,
Amazon, Microsoft, Amazon. Yeah. Google. It's like there's so many other Zoom. It's like there's
they're like we got a tech company, and it's like yeah, you expect something like that, like Microsoft, something huge,
Oracle, like just anyone that's got Apple. Shit ton of cash, like
Apple TV.
How much cash does Apple have? Like $100 billion in cash,
sir. I take Netflix. You know, Netflix is big there. It's like, come on,
I've heard of
come
them.
On, TeamViewer. What do you
TeamViewer.
Mean,
TeamViewer?
To be fair, they do have a. Billboard on the 101 coming back from SFO.
No way, really?
They did. I saw it last weekend.
That's a local. They have United on the front?
No, they did not. They did not have United. They didn't have Jesse Lingard, the new kid. Fan questions, getting into it. Thank you for the banter. You guys are the real listening in the summer. We just like to have a laugh here at the pod. You know, we call it pod therapy. Let's just hope we have a big summer. As CJ Saz, quote, is Trippier really worth it? Feels like a large chunk of change for a decent aging fullback. Also, given the option of Varane or Ramos, is Trippier worth it? They want like 40 for him. Ed Woodward bid 10, so it sounds like we're going to get the deal done. You know,
I'm really closing that gap.
The thing is, you got euros and pounds conversion, so you know, I'm not actually perfect there. It might be they want 40 euros because coming from Spain with Atletico, and we bid like 12 million pounds, so it might be 15 million euros apart. Start doing currency exchange rates on the pod in the summer is key.
Well done.
Trippier worth it? For me, I just said, why are you haggling over Trippier? Just get it done. Like, I just don't care. Just pay the price. There's no point in just like being that far apart on valuation is not productive for Manchester United in the summer and all the business we have to do. Is it this whole like they won 40, then we low ball, and then just back and forth. That just is the worst thing to do. Get it done. Deal should be hot, fast, done.
I totally agree. He's a good option to have if you can get him the same kind of price that we got Alex Telles for. You know, like 13, 15 million pounds. He's even older than Telles. Obviously, the problem is they won La Liga.
Better than Telles, EPL proven.
Yeah, he's better than
probably
Telles.
20, 25.
He's in the last year of his contract, and he's 31. So it's like...
22.5 million pounds.
Okay, done. But it's not 40. And I'll tell you right. You're wasting too much time. It's like you want to have an option like that. We saw he played on the left for England. I don't know what Gareth Southgate's smoking, but he can play on the left. He can play on the right. He's a good backup. He's got some senior kind of experience. He wants to come back to England. Get it done. 20 million pounds. That sounds about right. Ain't 40.
And it has to do with just like understanding the negotiation and how people. It's like with Trippier, a great example of how to deal with Atletico is, okay, he's on the last year of his deal. Hey, we're going to pay you X. Okay, no, you're not. And then you go sign another right back. And then people start realizing that when you don't play ball with us, we go get another player. Someone else gets that check. And then Atletico might say, oh, wait, we actually want somebody. But Ed Woodward, just like, it's like we have stalker syndrome where we only want Sancho and we're just going to low ball and haggle over Sancho instead of just actually talking to other right wingers. Like, why not be having multiple people in the mix? Why not being doing a little smoke, trying to get people to sweat out whether you're going to do the deal? I think that's such a better strategy than this whole like, haggle for Trippier and Sancho. Varane or Ramos, sir, I know where you're coming out on that one.
Yeah, so you don't even have to ask. I mean, just because of the age. I love Ramos. Ramos is like a beast. I'd love to have Ramos like 5-10 years ago, but he's 35 versus 28, and I think that's pretty obvious.
On a free, though. So free is the rat price for Manchester United.
So he might be coming to United, actually.
I would not mind Sergio Ramos sitting playing with Harry, honestly. You know, if it was him or no one, I would take him.
If honestly. It was like him or Pau Torres, who I thought was like, against us in the final, I would take Ramos for a year or two.
He's cheaper.
And also, we need a little grit because this United side is a little soft and he's like a mean mugging SOB and we can use a little of that personality. He'd probably get along with Cavani. He'd probably get along with Bruno. I'd be, you know.
Okay, I'm taking that back.
I like that.
Ramos could make that TeamViewer kit look good. That's the player he is. Yeah. You understand?
He can score a header, unlike Harry.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, he's such a good player. Even though he's aging, that he could make that team viewer kit look good. Harry Maguire, it's not gonna be friendly to Harry. You know, Paul Pogba can make it look good. So, at Bryguy 666, quote: I knew the usual propaganda was coming, but still got me. If I see one more effing story about Sancho being close, I will fly to Manchester and smash Woodward's face. Look. Bryguy, deals do not get done while players are on campaigns in national team tournaments. So Sancho could be done. Want to talk to our inside source and say, hey, yeah, Sancho could be done. It could be done when he said it. It's not being announced till England are balanced or they're out of the tournament. That's just something that just happens because while they're in the tournament, the managers do not like players fielding those calls and negotiating those deals. They're focused on trying to win. At Mr. Black 30 30 30, quote: I think I just thought of Mackenzie Scott's next act of philanthropy. She donated $5.8 billion last year to charity. If you've been following the news, she's been donating quite a bit to charity. And I thought about just tweeting out, please, please buy Manchester United, help our club.
What's another $5 billion among friends? Come on, please. I go a long way to easing some broken hearts around the world.
He had another tweet here, quote: is it a pipe dream for me to think that we get Sancho, Rice, and someone like Varane? Or is this something that could happen? It could happen, but everything has to go right. Right? We have to get the money for Lukaku now, which, again, Inter are broke. We will need to get a great valuation for Jesse and a low valuation for Rice, assuming they swap. And then you would probably need to get, a great deal for Varane, which probably isn't there. So I do think it's a pipe dream. That would be an A-plus window. I think you're going to see Sancho, someone. It could be like Sancho, Ramos, and
someone you never heard of. That kid in Uruguay.
Yeah.
with no highlight video. Yeah,
Fred Light.
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, I don't really get the whole Declan Rice hype. It's like his valuation is being quoted as the same as Grealish, bro. And we know what type of player Grealish is. I think it's a little of this England effect, right? He starts with the English team. I think Kevin
he's
Phillips.
$40 million.
Yeah, exactly. He's a $40 million player who's going to be.
So I don't disagree with.
Not bad. He's just not 80 million pounds. That's a lot of coin.
I don't disagree with Ed Woodward that the valuations are crazy. You're right. You look at Declan Rice and you're like, he's not worth 100 million pounds. Like, yeah, he's not. So see you later. Like, we'll find somebody else. That I think it just has to be on to the next one there. Yeah. And like, hey, if you don't give us Rice, you are not getting Jesse Lingard. That's, you can also say that as well. You can say you want Jesse Lingard. You're not getting him unless we get Rice. That is totally fair. Eddie, hire me. I'm available. At GGMU442, quote, Murtaugh working on 3 transfers at the same time. Who the hell does he think he is? Isn't this the time usually Eddie dips out on holiday? LOL. Yes, Ed Woodward loves going on holiday during a transfer market. At Love the Bulls 18, quote, how is that United are linked with every player but can't get anyone signed? Look at the financials. They tell you everything because at the end of the day, Manchester United, we're not flush with cash, sir. If we had $400 million in cash, I'd be confident we would have Varane. We'd get Rice with a Lingard swap. We would go out and get Sancho, and we could be in the running for another number 9. Like, I could totally see us doing business, but because cash is tight at the moment, they have options to change that, whether or not they will. TBD, I mean, they could raise more debt. They could get another private infusion of cash, like they were negotiating with MBS before. They wanted to be a partner and have him put in $1 billion so they could do the stadium and everything. But right now, as it stands, the business and their cash, limited options, man, limited options, and it's not fun as a Manchester United fan, because this great club, sir, I think about it a lot. Where we're at right now, it's not fun. It's not fun. It's just not fun where Manchester United as a club is, and you have to just blame the owners and wear that green and gold because it's their fault. They've taken all, sir. You talk about it. You know, it's like,
sir, we used to break transfer records for fun, my man. Put together windows that would make other clubs in the league quiver in their boots, sir. And if this was pre-Glazer, before those parasites got their tentacles into this club and basically destroyed it, gutted it, left it for scraps, killed the horse, rode him down to the very end, and then took him to the glue factory, as you like to say, we'd be splashing major cash, because we should have plenty of cash in the balance sheet if we weren't paying out interest payments for the last 19 years, 18 years, plus dividends. et cetera, sir. So it's like, there's no reason that those windows can't be had. We'd also have a competent front office if this wasn't run by idiots.
But that's the whole thing is you can't take your eye off the ball where you essentially bleed the asset dry to the point where it impacts the brand. And I think when you go 10 years with that, I thought the minute Sir Alex retired, sir, I remember where I was. I remember where I was when Ronaldo was sold to Real Madrid as well. Those are two big moments in my Manchester United fandom. And when Sir Alex retired, my first thought was like, we really need to win a title ASAP between 3 to 5 years after he retires. Otherwise, this could be 30. If we don't run at it, like the whole priority of this whole club has to be like, we need to win after Sir Alex, because if we don't, we're going to be Liverpool 2.0. It's just going to happen, and we're seeing it happen. And it's like, you can't admit the slide, and then now we have $86 million on the balance sheet. Sir, they try to do the Super League because they're broke. Where does all the money come from? Everything you want to do? It comes from the Super League. It comes from the Super League, $350 million injection. Like, for Manchester United fans, that's the money that they were banking on having, and they don't have it this summer.
Yeah, but they only needed that money because they drove the club into the ground.
Yes, exactly. But the whole point is they do need money, and there is a motivation for that. Last one here, at FCal37, quote, what are some players you would like to sign in positions of need that aren't the main links? You know, outside of Sancho, Varane, Trippier, and Torres, sir, who would you like to sign?
It's hard to watch. I mean, I talk about him a lot. Bissouma, that's the half price deal for CDM. Yves Bissouma, before another big club gets him, I could see him joining the City and being really good. It's like you're going to have 35, 40 million pounds, maybe throw in a player instead of the 80 million English connect for West Ham. Talk about him a lot. I think it'd be a great sign. Like a huge upgrade on Fred. Got the size, better ball player. You could play like the single CDM pivot, which is what we should be doing anyway, given the players we have. So who do you want?
Sir, I obviously want Jack Grealish. You know, I mean, Jack Grealish is absolute fire. We were linked with him. I don't know where he would play, but he's a player. Sir, he's like Wayne Rooney. He's a dog.
He's like Beckham. I mean, David Beckham.
He's like Beckham. He's got the all-star vibe. Yeah. He's like, you know, he's got the swag. He's got everything. He's got Erling Haaland level swag. An EPL proven Englishman. You know, he loves Old Trafford, sir. He light the place up like he owns it.
They're going to sign Jack both, Grealish, bro. They're going to sign both.
You know, and that missing on him is brutal. And then obviously missing on Haaland. Can't miss on players like that. Those are our players. Those are our players. Haaland is our player. Grealish is our player. Those are transfers that would have been done if Manchester United of old was here today. Those are our players. I would just be like, could you imagine
Jude Bellingham
Haaland scoring and doing the Viking celebration in front of the Stratford End? Like, just like winning the league. Jude Bellingham, another one. Those are the players that should be ours, sir.
You're making me sad. It's true.
But it's true. Manchester United should be that way.
I'm telling you. Like when we were buying Rude and then Wayne and then and then Ronaldo and then we bought like
Tevez,
it's just like
Berba, more.
But even that was like starting. Yeah, we were starting to dip, dude. When they didn't, I'll tell you what. You know, the music died. The day music died, so that song is like the day the music died was when they sold Ronaldo and they bought Obertan, bro. Like that was it. That was the end of United.
First I liked Obertan. I liked him a lot. I liked him a lot. I rated him coming in. So that's how much I know about this game, sir. And speaking of which, given how little we know about this game, but we love it. We love yapping about it. That is the podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens to American Red Devils. What a fun time to be a United fan. The Muppetry. Let's hope they deliver. Can they deliver, sir? They don't have a lot of money. How are they going to get the money? It's going to be a crazy summer, sir. Euros. Gold Cup, speaking of which, we'll be doing a U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast for all the American Red Devils. That is going to be a ton of fun. We're going to get our boy Mike on the line. He'll be running us through the U.S. Men's National Team, sir. He is an expert. He grew up playing in the system, absolutely loves American soccer, if you will. So we will bring him on as our expert. And obviously, if you want to support the podcast, do our season ending review. Support us on Patreon. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. And write a review on iTunes. They all go a long way. Helping this small-time operation, sir. We love doing it. We love this team, despite the ownership and everything in between, sir. What do I usually say at this moment in the podcast?
You got a lot of lines. Always darkest for the dawn.
No, it's like, sweet ain't so sweet without the bitter, baby. Sorry, and right now, like, it's going to have a couple bitter. couple bitter transfers windows.
I'll tell you what, it's gonna get worse, bro. It's like we're gonna be taking our kids to Old Trafford, watching them
never
win the title when like they're like 20. They're like dating, you know.
Oh, and happy Father's Day to all the American Devils shout dads out there as well. Sir, given the top 10 cities last 7 days, I hope you mispronounce a few.
At least one.
They deserve it. Oh, I got there's a few.
At least one. Number one. How you doing? Columbus, Indiana. There we go. I'm gonna fuck this one up. Wananaki, Wisconsin, Dublin, Ireland, Columbus, OH, Sebastopol, California, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Tampa, Florida, Mount Vernon, New York, Bucharest, Romania. How you doing?
Oh, Romania, shout out.
Shout out. Toronto, Canada, and number 11, Oslo, Norway. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Summer, Muppetry, Transfer Window, part due, sir.
We will be dropping a podcast every week, running through things. We'll do an emergency one usually when there's transfers that happen. We're going camping next weekend, which is going to be a great trip. We will be offline, so there is a potential... Yeah, I think, Twitter's going to be
happened
off.
Last time.
We're going to be dark on social. So, yeah, things might happen. It might go wild. I'm sure the Discord will be all alight. But as always, sir.
Kicking the blue.
Kicking the blue.